Welcome to the Deep Dive. Hi, I'm Pat.
And hi, I'm Jesse.
Today, we're diving into something, well, something deeply personal and often very challenging for many people.
We're going to take our time with this one. It's about understanding the lasting effects of being raised by a narcissistic mother, specifically on daughters.
Right. And it's a heavy topic, we know. We've looked at insights from clinical experts, personal stories, even some research on how the brain adapts.
Yeah, and what's really striking is how consistent these experiences are across different accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It really highlights a shared reality for so many.
So our goal today really is to unpack these insights, help you understand what might be going on, and maybe see some paths towards healing.
Exactly. If this resonates with you or someone you know, we hope this conversation brings some clarity, maybe some validation, and just knowing you're not alone in it.
Okay, so let's start with the term itself, narcissistic mother. It gets thrown around a bit, doesn't it?
It does, often just meaning someone who's, you know, self-absorbed.
But clinically, it's more specific than that.
Right. It points to a mother showing traits of, or maybe diagnosed with, narcissistic personality disorder, NPD.
And the core dynamic there, what is that exactly?
Well, fundamentally, it's a pattern where the mother's needs consistently and often completely overshadow the child's needs.
So she doesn't see her daughter as her own person.
Often not. Daughters are frequently viewed almost as extensions of the mother herself, like objects meant to fulfill her needs, her ambitions, her image.
And if the daughter tries to be independent, express her own thoughts,
that can be seen as a threat.
Yeah.
A threat to the mother's sense of control or superiority. It challenges that idea that the daughter is just there to reflect the mother.
Wow. What does that do to a daughter growing up?
It's profoundly damaging to their sense of self. They learn very early on that their own feelings, their needs, their reality might be ignored or denied.
So it stifles their ability to figure out who they even are.
Precisely. It makes it incredibly hard to develop a unique identity or even trust their own instincts later on.
Okay, so this isn't just about feeling bad sometimes. This affects everything.
Absolutely. It creates a really complex psychological and emotional landscape for these daughters.
And one thing that comes up a lot is extreme self-criticism, right?
Yeah.
And perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. Very common. Daughters often internalize the mother's harsh criticism. It leads to this deep-seated feeling of never being good enough.
Always feeling inadequate.
Yeah. And that drives this relentless, exhausting pursuit of perfection, always trying to prove their worth.
I remember reading a quote from someone. They said something like, "I'm an overperformer. I continued my life by proving that I earned to exist."
That captures it perfectly. That constant need to earn your place because you never felt inherently worthy.
Which connects directly to low self-esteem, I imagine.
Directly. Constant belittling, constant invalidation.
Yeah.
It just chips away at a daughter's self-worth.
They end up feeling unworthy or inadequate, as one source put it.
And constantly seeking validation from outside sources.
Yeah.
Because that core validation from the mother was missing or conditional. It becomes this deep need.
And if your sense of self is constantly being undermined, does that lead to identity confusion?
It really does. If your own thoughts and feelings were always dismissed or reshaped by your mother's needs, how do you learn to know and trust yourself?
Right. It's hard to know what you actually want or feel.
Exactly. Your own identity gets overshadowed. It's hard to form a solid sense of who you are separate from her.
And these internal struggles, they must impact relationships later on.
Oh, significantly.
Yeah.
Growing up with that kind of inconsistency or neglect often leads to what's called an insecure attachment style.
Meaning it's hard to form healthy, stable relationships as an adult.
Very hard.
Hmm?
They haven't had a model for what secure, reciprocal love feels like. Trust can be a huge issue.
And does this lead to things like people-pleasing or codependency?
Very often, yes. If you learned your worth depends on making your mother happy or keeping the peace, you might repeat that pattern.
Sacrificing your own needs to please others.
Mm-hmm. Believing deep down that you have to earn approval. Someone said, "It's like I never learned how to say no without feeling guilty."
That's powerful, and it makes sense thinking about boundaries.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, yeah, boundaries are a huge struggle. If your own needs were always secondary, how do you learn to set limits?
Especially if your mother constantly disregarded any boundaries you tried to set.
Exactly. You weren't taught your yes mattered, so learning to say no feels, well, almost impossible sometimes.
Mm.
Or incredibly fraught with anxiety.
And what about emotions? The mother's lack of empathy? How does that play out?
It leaves the daughter feeling completely unseen, unheard, emotionally invisible.
So they learn to just suppress their feelings.
Often, yes. They learn that expressing feelings might be ignored, ridiculed, or even punished. It feels dangerous, so they shut down.
It's a survival mechanism, really.
It is, but one that carries a heavy cost later in life, impacting intimacy and emotional expression.
And under all this, is there often a fear of abandonment?
A deep, pervasive fear. The inconsistency, the manipulation, any affection being conditional. It instills this terror of being left or rejected.
Which could make someone cling to unhealthy relationships, maybe.
Or avoid closeness altogether. Both can stem from that same core fear.
It's important to remember, too, that abuse isn't always physical.
Absolutely not. Often the most insidious damage comes from emotional and psychological abuse.
Things like manipulation, gaslighting.
Right. Mind games. Projection, where the mother accuses the daughter of her own negative traits. And that passive-aggressive silent treatment.
Gaslighting seems particularly damaging, making you doubt your own reality.
It is. Sources talk about how gaslighting from a parent distorts a child's reality. It leads to profound self-doubt, confusion. It's a form of betrayal trauma.
Because the person meant to validate your world is actively undermining it.
Exactly. Making you feel like you're the crazy one or the problem.
And the verbal abuse can be just brutal.
Devastating. We read accounts of daughters being told things like, "You're stupid, you're worthless. Even I should have aborted you."
That's unimaginable.
And sometimes it's more subtle, like turning siblings against the daughter.
Yeah.
Isolating her, even within the family.
Which can lead to this good daughter syndrome you mentioned.
Yes. Trying desperately to be whatever the mother wants, adopting roles, suppressing the real self, just to get some semblance of approval or peace.
At the expense of their own well-being.
Completely. It's a constant performance to try and earn a love that might fundamentally be unavailable.
And that brings up the loneliness. So many described feeling profoundly lonely, even if their mother was nearby.
Mm-hmm. Grieving the mother they needed but didn't have. That longing for just a simple, warm connection.
Like wanting a good, warm hug or just some genuine time.
Yeah. Feeling that the mother is alive but not available emotionally. Yeah. It's a specific, deep kind of ache.
It raises that question, doesn't it? What happens when your primary source of nurturing is also the source of your deepest pain?
That void, that loneliness, it's immense. And realizing this truth, really grappling with it, can bring up intense anger, rage, anxiety, deep sadness.
It's not just a feeling, it's like a core wound.
It really is. It impacts everything.
So given all of this, the depth of the pain, the complexity, how does healing even begin? It sounds overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And healing is definitely described as complex and challenging. But, and this is crucial, it is possible.
Where does it start?
Often, with a kind of grieving process.
Yeah.
Really accepting deep down that the mother you had, she wasn't able to be the mother you needed or hoped for.
Letting go of that fantasy.
Yes. Acknowledging the reality, however painful. One source literally says acceptance is the first step in recovery. It's not about excusing anything, just seeing clearly.
And therapy seems vital here, getting professional support.
Hugely important. Therapy provides a safe space to unpack all this, process the emotions, learn coping strategies. It's essential.
And connecting with others who get it. Support groups.
Also key, that validation, knowing you're not alone, can be incredibly powerful. People find connection online, build chosen families. Finding that support network is critical.
Then there's the boundary setting again, learning to enforce them.
Absolutely essential for recovery. It might mean limiting contact, being really clear about what's acceptable, maybe even no contact in some situations. It's about protecting yourself.
Reclaiming your own space and needs.
Exactly. And that goes hand in hand with practicing self-compassion, learning to be kind to yourself after years of internalizing criticism.
And exploring your own identity, finding out who you are apart from her influence.
Yes. Trying new things, pursuing your own interests, discovering your own values. Sometimes it's small things, sometimes big things like changing your look, getting tattoos, acts of reclaiming yourself.
And maybe the biggest thing, realizing it wasn't your fault.
That is profoundly liberating. Understanding that you were a child and you couldn't control your mother's issues or behavior. Shifting from self-blame to self-compassion. That's huge.
Are there practical things people can do day to day? Coping mechanisms?
Definitely. Things like journaling can be really helpful for processing emotions. Deep breathing, mindfulness exercises to stay grounded.
Spending time in nature came up too.
Yes, someone said, out in nature, the part that normally feels empty finally feels full. Finding things that soothe and replenish you is key.
And it's interesting that science is also pointing towards hope here.
It is. Research shows our brains are adaptive. We can unlearn harmful patterns and build new, healthier neural pathways.
So coping strategies actually work on a biological level, reducing stress.
Yeah, studies suggest they can. It shows that resistance is possible and healing can happen. The brain can change.
That's fascinating. It shows our capacity to adapt, even after really difficult experiences.
It really speaks to human resilience.
Wow. What a deep dive this has been. Mm-hmm. It's so clear that the journey for daughters of narcissistic mothers is, well, incredibly challenging. So much pain.
So much pain, yes. But also so much strength.
Right. Incredible strength, resilience, and that real potential for healing.
Absolutely. It highlights the capacity for growth, for self-discovery, for building the kinds of relationships you actually deserve. Your story matters, and you're not alone.
So as we wrapped up, here's a thought to maybe sit with. If part of healing is grieving the mother you didn't have, mm-hmm. what does it mean to then start parenting yourself, mm-hmm. to consciously bring that nurturing, that unconditional acceptance to your own adult life in the way you always needed?
That's a powerful question to reflect on.
We really hope this deep dive offered some clarity, maybe some understanding, perhaps even a bit of peace.
If anything resonated, please think about sharing it. Someone else might need to hear it too.
Yeah, and like, share, leave a comment. We genuinely do want to hear your thoughts on this.
Thank you so much for joining us for this important conversation today. We're really glad you were here.
Until next time, please take care of yourself.
Goodbye for now.